Hello, everybody. Welcome or welcome back to B&B Anime, but specifically Anime Island, the show where I take my esteemed guest and metaphorically strand them on a deserted island for the rest of their lives, where the only thing they are allowed to take with them, besides basic amenities, because I am not such a heartless bastard that I leave them with nothing. So outside of food, bed, cell phone, Wi-Fi, all of that fun stuff, because, again, not a jerk, they are allowed to take three anime of their choosing, along with a film, novel, album, and video game of their choice. My guest this week is a voice that some of y'all may be familiar with. She has done many a voice for TV series, podcast series, video games, and has recently started streaming on Twitch and become affiliated on Twitch. Melissa White, how are you?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm just stoked to be here.
Well, thank you so much for taking part in this. Again, I am very stoked to have you as well. It's always nice for people to agree to take part in this because I'm always terrified to send that message because obviously without guests, there's no point in me doing this. It's pretty much like streaming, just screaming into the void and hoping people kind of talk back.
I do that every day. It's fine. In my little booth here, screaming to the void.
Yeah, I get that. I feel like I spend more time in my office than I do the outside world and outside of my day job as well. So I get it. I 100% get it.
You got to remind yourself to touch grass sometimes. I mean, at least I have to remind myself.
I have people in my life that remind me of that because if not, then I forget because I am very much a workaholic. Like, if I'm not at my day job or working on podcast things, it's just like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. So they're like, hey, come play tennis or pickleball or come do these outside things to socialize a little bit.
Real. I relate so hard to that.
All right. So first things first, I mean, just tell us a little bit about yourself, like what you do as far as voiceover work goes, Twitch, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I'm a voice actor. I primarily work on video games, commercials, and audiobooks. Those are probably my top three genres because there are so many genres of voiceover that you can work in. So I do a little bit of everything, but those are probably my main categories. My biggest credit is Lysenia in Dragonair Silent Gods, which is a D&D game that came out recently, which was really fun. I've been voice acting for about 3 years now, and I get to work on some really cool stuff, and, I guess that's my main voiceover stuff. My Twitch stuff, I just started, literally a month ago, so I'm brand new to Twitch, but I'm having a blast. I really like streaming because I can just be stupid and no one cares. Like, that's my favorite thing. I can just be an idiot, and people are like, haha, that was so funny. So I don't know. I just, any excuse to be dumb is my favorite thing. So I am super excited to be streaming on Twitch. I play a lot of Pokemon stuff, a lot of comfy stuff. I want to play some horror stuff because I love murder. I'm sure some of that will be in the mix. But yeah, I guess that's like a general about me. I never know what to say for these things. So I hope that was okay.
Oh, no, that's perfectly fine. So before touching back on the whole voiceover thing, I feel you on the whole wanting to stream horror things. That was kind of one of my main genres that I really enjoyed streaming just because, for one, people like watching people get scared. But also, there's nothing like playing a really good horror game and the like adrenaline that comes from doing that. Because I've played so many phenomenal horror games that I can't watch horror films anymore. They do not elicit that same feeling anywhere close to that. So it's not.
No, they don't. And like a lot of horror movies are just funny. You know what I mean? Like they're just comical. I'm like, this is not well done. But there are really good horror anime. I will say that. There's some really good horror anime.
There really is. Have you seen Dark Gathering?
No. Is it newer?
On It is. It just started airing, I think, summer of last year, and it's two core. It only has its first season, but the second season's already been announced. But it is, I think, the first horror anime ever that has legitimately, like, sent a chill down my spine. Okay. And it was within the first couple of episodes where I was like, ooh, I really like this. This okay. is phenomenal.
I'm hooked already. I wrote it down so I can actually watch it. Thank you.
Awesome. Oh, you're welcome. But then, so touching back on the whole voiceover side of thing, what got you into voiceover work, and how did the, like, want to get into that line of work kind of come to be?
Yeah, so I grew up a theater kid. Any theater kids in the house? Woo woo, I see you. So I always wanted to be an actor. I thought I wanted to do film, but then I realized I hate how I look on camera, so I was like, I don't want to do that. But my parents discouraged me from acting because it's not a sustainable income, like, as a career, a lot of the time, unless you're in the top, like, 1%. So I took a little detour. I had two other careers before I moved into voiceover. I worked in the animal rights field, and I worked as a mental health counselor for a few years. So I love helping. I don't know if anyone has seen my social media stuff, or if they go check it out, you'll see that I like to post a lot of positivity content, because I love helping, encouraging, inspiring people. So anyway, sidetracked here. I fast forward to when I moved to Las Vegas in 2019, but I didn't get into voiceover until 2 years later. But anyway, I found a voice acting studio there, and because I was just like, man, I miss acting, and I looked up acting classes near me. Basically, I Googled. I was like, I would love to do some more acting again, because, like, you can't, you know, you can discourage the girl, but you can't take the actor out of her, right? So I got back into it. I saw voice acting, and I was like, what? It was something I never really thought about. Because when you watch cartoons as a kid, I feel like you don't really think about, oh, that's a person behind that character. You just think, that's that character. So later on, I found it, and I was like, wait, I've always wanted to do something with my voice. And so I took my first class there, and it just kind of fit me like a glove. It just felt so natural. I sucked. Like, most people suck when they start out, right? But it's like, it just felt so right to me. And so the rest is history from there. I took so many classes, you know, I've worked on some cool projects, and that's kind of how I got started. And now we're here.
I mean, that's awesome. And that's really interesting. And I hear that from a lot of different voice actors, as kind of either a theater background, like my partner on the podcast, Blue, she had a theater background and then just kind of stumbled down that path. As for me, it was a little different, because I always wanted to do, like, some form of entertainment. But growing up, I was always told, hey, you have a good voice, so you should try to sing. And I was like, okay, let me try that. And then I tried and tried and tried, and nothing worked out whatsoever. And so it was just kind of one of those things where it's just like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, I'm enjoying this whole streaming and content creating thing, and I was just very content with that until I met Blue. And then through some happenstance, she had a acquaintance that I therefore became mutually acquainted with, and just kind of dove down that path of building my own PC and, like, setting up my own voiceover booth to try to do a few projects here or there. And that kind of led me down, you know, the path to kind of give it a go here or there. And then that's kind of how the whole podcast thing started too, was just kind of through the, you know, mutual one love of anime between myself and Blue, and then just kind of wanting to, I guess, not necessarily use voice acting in a way of, you know, content creating like this, but there is, I guess, some sort of elements to that, give or take. And then that's just cool. Doing stupid stuff on the internet. So that's just kind of how that happened.
I love stupid stuff. Yay. That's so cool, though. And I feel like life is just so much about experimenting and seeing what you like and what works for you. And, like, I don't know, you just never know what's going to be thrown your way or what you're going to fall into. So it's just
exactly
fun.
Yeah, and it's also, you'd never know kind of who you're going to meet while you're in those circles, because you might meet some lifelong friends. Like, I met a really good friend of mine, Brianna, through a karaoke bar while we were both trying to, you know, win the same karaoke competition. And even though I'm no longer in that field, like, we still talk, and I end up going to a lot of her gigs now and just hanging out, because that's just kind of how that stuff kind of works out.
That's cool. Yeah, it's, life is weird, man. It really is.
It really, really is. And then with the transition to streaming, though, how did that come about? Where did the want to get into streaming come from?
You know, I've been wanting to stream for years now, but the tech side of things was so scary and so intimidating to me. It still low-key is, but I've always been into video games since I was a kid. And I am someone who's very social. And so gaming with an audience just seemed like incredible to me. Mm-hmm. And I guess what my final push into it, like, to get me started, a few of my voiceover mentors who I really value and admire and trust, they were telling me, hey, like, you have a good personality for streaming. You should really consider streaming. And so I was like, well, if someone else told me to do it, I guess I should do it. So I finally set it up. I added it to my list of goals for 2024, because I always, at the end of every year, I sit down and I come up with some goals that I want to the best of my abilities, accomplish for the year. And that one feels like fully in my control. So I ended up starting that. February 2nd was my first stream. I only know that because I just started, but I'll probably forget down the line. But yeah, it's just something I always thought was really cool. And I've watched streamers too, and I'm like, this seems so freaking fun, man. So I finally just went for it, and I'm having such a good time with it. So I'm glad that I had that push from people that I really respect, because that's what pushed me over the edge, I suppose.
I mean, that's awesome. I mean, I'm definitely glad that you found your footing in the space and you're enjoying it, because that's kind of the whole, I guess, fun of doing it is, you know, for one, enjoying it, because it does have the ability to, like, if you let it weigh on you. So finding positive creators in the space is always such a blessing in a way to just kind of come across, because it's always, like, it's a nice vibe. Like, I really enjoy just hanging out and chats and enjoying the vibe. And so whenever I stumbled across your stream, I was like, oh, this is great. Like, this is a nice community. It's fun. And it's just a really awesome thing to be a part of. So if you're listening to this, go check it out. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
Yay. Oh my gosh. Thank you. That makes me so happy to hear. I definitely try to create a positive vibe, because it's like, at the end of the day, we're all there to relax and have fun. It's not serious, you know, like, we're all doing this on our free time. So it should be a nice space where you can just kick back. So I'm glad that I'm accomplishing that so far. It might change. I don't know. I might get, like, real angry or something, but start raging on every stream.
We save that for the rage games.
Yes.
By getting over it. We're not going to talk about the abuse that my desk went through while playing that game.
Oh my God. No. Okay. Yeah. I need to play stuff that doesn't make me rage, because it's just, I don't know. Life is hard enough. I don't want hard games. Like, I'm one of those people, like, I don't really like a big challenge in my games, because I'm so stressed out, like, constantly as it is, because there's always stuff going on in life. And so I'm like, I need to play something. Like, it can have a little bit of challenge, but if it's, like, just insanely hard, I don't want it, you know? I'm one of those.
I understand. I'm very much in that same boat now, because I used to be big into the competitive FPS field. Like, I used to be a platinum player on Rainbow Six Siege, and just that level of toxicity and competition there, I cannot stand anymore. That's why I no longer really play FPS games. Like, my friends try to get me to play Call of Duty all the time, and I'm like, I'm good. I appreciate the offer, but no, not today. Not ever again. I don't like where those games take me. So no, I'm good.
I used to play a lot of Call of Duty as a kid. I was big into FPS games, but I mean, when you're a kid, it's like you don't really have responsibilities. You know, you can rage when you game, whatever. But now it's like life is too serious. I need something to relax me. So yeah, but I mean, I respect people who like FPS games because it's like they're not for the faint of heart, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree. But now games like Stardew Valley. Actually, in fact, I think Stardew Valley probably is like my number one go-to game for stuff like that now. It's just because it's so cozy and even paced to where it's just like I can never have a bad time playing that game.
Unless you pick the monster farm for your first time, like I did.
Okay. Yeah, you know, fair
enough. And then you get murdered every night when you're just trying to go to bed.
Just let me go home.
No, they're like, they just, I don't know. I have some masochistic energy. You know, I'm just like, I would love to just get unalived every time I'm trying to exist. But yeah, no, Stardew Valley, a very comfy game. I'm glad that I'm playing it because it is nice, you know, and I make it silly because I'm just like, I don't know, it can be funny.
it 100% can be. It's like with everything else, it kind of really is just how you make it. Yeah. And Stardew Valley is such a, I guess, sandbox whenever it comes to stuff like that, especially from the content creation side of things. So I 100% get that.
Yeah, it's a very versatile game.
100%. All right. So kind of the whole premise of the show is, you know, you get three anime that you're stuck with. These are the only three that you get on your deserted trip to the island. So as far as your first one, what you got?
Okay, so you know how I said they're a good horror anime, right? Mm-hmm. I am a big horror fan, so my favorite anime of all time is Higurashi When They Cry. I don't know if you have you seen it?
I have not. I have heard really good things, and I think I saw it might have been on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, where you
Twitter.
Yep, 100% Twitter.
Don't fall for that scam. It's Twitter.
Yeah, it's still Twitter in my heart. In fact, I think I just set up a link tree today, and I still just called it Twitter because I refuse.
It's Twitter.
Yep. And so I saw where you had posted about it, where I think you might have made a TikTok about how, like, your favorite anime and then the music that goes with it doesn't necessarily line up for what your favorite of one or the other would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with that where I was like, you know, I should probably check this out or use it as an excuse to make Blue watch more horror on the podcast and just schedule it. So that way I have to watch it. And so does she.
Oh my gosh. No, no. Okay. Wait, you watch it live, like on the podcast, like you do live commentary?
We don't. We've dabbled in the reaction thing a little bit, but not for anything like that. We just watch a new anime every week and then review it at the end.
Okay. This one would be so good because it's a mystery. Like, it's a very hard to figure out mystery. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of the first season of it, it's very much like, what the hell is going on? Like, it's a total mindfuck. Like, that's my F word for the podcast. But I had to meet my quota. But it changed me in a way that's just like, I will never find a mystery this good ever again. And of course, there's lots of gore. It's like very, very psychological thriller-esque. But it's just, you have to watch it. Make Blue watch it. It's so good. There's plenty of murder. I always like have to have a little something-something to quench my thirst, my bloodthirst. So yeah, Higurashi, my first one that I would take hands down. Because like, obviously, I just want to be depressed on this island and just like watch my favorite characters die. Like, that's comforting, right?
Yeah. What 100% so. 100%. So, how did you stumble across Higurashi? Was it like a recommendation, or is it just something where you're just like, I'm feeling something a little spicy, let's try this, and then it just kind of, you know, fell down a rabbit hole.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think it was a recommendation. I think When I started watching anime, I used my anime list a lot, which is toxic as hell. Like, I don't recommend going on the forums on there, but I really like their recommendation feature. Like, if you find an anime that you like, it's like, anime like this anime. So if you're like eager for more or something similar, you can look at that category and it'll show you all these recommendations. But I think it might have been underneath one of the first anime I watched in those, because I started out very dark. I mean, Pokemon and Sailor Moon aside, you know, the kids anime, yep. Obviously those aren't dark. I mean, some of the episodes in Pokemon are kind of dark. But when I'm going to go on a side tangent. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Oh, you're fine. Like I said, venture out as far as you want to. It's perfectly fine.
So the first anime that like got me into anime is Psycho Pass. Have you seen that one?
I have. Psycho Pass is very good.
Okay. And then I was like, oh my God, it's not all hentai. Like, someone in college recommended it to me. And I was like, whoa, like it opened a whole new can of worms for me. And so Psycho Pass is very dark, as you know. I mean, it's like about a dystopian society and there's a lot of death and mind control type situations. So I was looking under the recommendations and I'm pretty sure Higurashi was listed under Psycho Pass or under something else dark that I had watched. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I got it from my anime list. The one good thing that I got from that website. I kid, sort of. But yeah. Yeah, nobody recommended it to me because I think, like, when I first started watching that, I wasn't super immersed in the community, the anime community. So I was just, like, by myself. I didn't really have people to talk to me about anime. Yeah. But now I have a lot of anime friends. So, yeah. But I think that's what happened.
Fair enough. Because I know for me, like, I very much went through that phase of, like, middle school, high school, and my one semester of college that I dropped out afterwards.
Nice.
Where it was, I just went through that whole phase of no, like anime is not for me. Like it's for kids or, you know, whatever other mindsets people get into whenever it comes to stuff like that. But then a former coworker who's now one of my best friends, while we were working together, there's one night where he's like, hey, so I got this anime, you should try. He's like, I know you're not into anime, just give it a go and just see how you feel. And that's when he introduced me to Your Lie in April.
Stop. Your friend like was doing you dirty. He's like, you want to really cry? Did. He's like, are you ready to bawl your eyes out? Because this is going to introduce you to anime and then you're just going to be depressed for like a year after you finish it.
Yeah. And now it is a yearly tradition to where every year in April, I have to rewatch it like without... Dude. Fail. And it was such a strong introduction to where we only managed to get through like three episodes of that shift, but then I finished binging it that weekend because I could not put it down because I did not realize anime could, for one, elicit that much emotion from me because I bawled my eyes out over that show.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then also like that gave me like a new appreciation for animation in general, but also like the scores to just media in general, because I'd never much paid attention to OSTs for anything.
Yeah.
But then I found myself just drawn in by the OST of that show. And then it's just kind of been like a running thing for me for everything I consume afterwards of if the soundtrack is trash, then I think it's trash.
Valid. That's valid. But yeah, that's one of my favorites too. That anime is just like, so it's so aesthetically pleasing as far as like the look, the soundtrack, the characters, like just everything about that anime is incredible. It's emotional. There was a streak I was on where I was just looking up things that make me cry. I don't know. I was feeling some type of way. I was like, what's going to make me bawl my eyes out? And that was definitely one of them. So
yeah, I got into that mood probably about a month ago or so. So I was like, you know, Your Lie in April's coming up in a little over a month, so can't go with that. Let's go Bunny Girl Senpai. Why not? That has a way of, I guess, tearing my heart out of my chest. Let's go for that. But yeah, there's I'm glad I'm not the only one that goes down that rabbit hole of like, I need something to crush my soul. Let's go down the list and see what's going to do the job.
Sometimes it's cathartic to just cry, dude. Like, it's, you're definitely not alone. It sounds depressing to talk about, but it's just like, you just get it all out. You like get the gook out of your soul when you cry. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Like, it really is therapeutic in a way to just, I let it all go, because sometimes it's really easy to just get caught up in life of being like, I am very overwhelmed. I don't know what to do, and I just can't get these emotions out. So it's nice to know that there are ways to, I guess, be mindful and in a healthy enough place to be like, hey, I have these things as ways to, if I can't get it out, then this is how I can get it out, type of thing.
Yeah.
So, all right, on to the next bit. So on top of anime, you're allowed to have a book, album, film, and video game. So the first two options are a book and an album. So which ones are you going to go with for those?
Oh, okay. This is so hard. I'm like, am I prepared? Okay, so there's this book by an indie author called Hunted. The author's name is VM Nelson, and it's about this Dampier girl and her sister who are being hunted for their blood because their blood can kill off the vampire race. And so I don't know, like I narrated the audiobook, so I'm a little biased, but it's just, I really relate to the main character. And it's got a little bit of everything. It's got action. It's got a love triangle. It's got the sisterly bond. It's got the familial bonds in general. And I don't know. I just feel like having something that has a little bit of all the stuff that I like would be a good choice to take with me. And I've always been big into vampires, like ever since I was a kid. I was a Twihard. I was a Twilight fan. But yeah, that's what I would take, and I would highly recommend it. This is like the plug. Like, go check it out, because the author the author is one of the sweetest people I know. So that's another thing. Like, I want to have that like comfy vibe with me of like, oh, I'm supporting someone who's so wonderful just because like I know the author.
I 100% get that. Always support indie artists if you can, because Blue and I also have a mutual friend that's an indie author, so always try to, you know, support her whenever possible. So I 100% can get behind that. And I'll totally have to check that out, because audiobooks have kind of been my thing here lately, especially since with Blue and I going to Japan in October. It was just kind of one of those things where she found an audiobook that can teach us Japanese, and it has been incredible using that. Like, I have learned so much with that instead of, you know, trying to use things like Rosetta Stone and Duolingo and stuff like that. So it's been great. So audiobooks are 100% my thing at the moment.
Check it out. I worked really hard on it, and I'm doing the whole series. I think there are 4 books. So yeah, it's really good. It's really good. I'm not biased at all. But, like, I would read it on my own. You know, if I didn't know the author, I would still be like, wow, this sounds really good. So yeah, check it out. Also, I'll have to keep that in mind if I'm trying to learn another language, because I've tried Duolingo and I'm like, this kind of sucks.
No offense, really Duolingo. Does.
Yeah. Anyone from Duolingo is listening, I'm sorry.
Oh, have you seen their social media? It is terrifying.
I haven't, but I've seen like their comments on stuff, and I feel like they have like a nice sense of comedy. Like, whoever's running their social media, they're just kind of funny.
But I haven't looked at
their content.
It's very much on those same vibes of just like, nice. Just comedy, but it's in a way of like, hey, we're always watching. You best be doing your lessons. It's just pure satire and shenanigans like that, to where you know it's in good fun, but it's like, whoever's doing their social media marketing, like, good job. Because it's like with the whole Wendy shtick, like, this generation of people in general, I guess, like, enjoy that type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a, I don't know. I guess I don't know. They know who they're trying to market that stuff to, and they're doing a great job of getting it to those people.
They are. I love me a Wendy's. Sometimes they're kind of mean though. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, did that go too far? But you know what? Like, if people are trolling you, sometimes you got to be mean.
Yeah, match
that energy, you know?
Oh, and absolutely. And you're also allowed to take with you an album. So do you have an album that you would want to take with you?
This is stressful. I want to take two. I'm like, which one?
You know what? Take two. Why not? There are no rules here. Take two. Why not?
We're taking two then. Okay, so one that I've been super, super into lately, like obsessed, is Take Me Back to Eden by Sleep Token.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that album before, or have you heard Sleep Token at all?
I've heard a little bit of their stuff. One of my best friends, she's a huge Sleep Token fan, actually got to see them in concert a few months ago. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, so while she was in Tennessee, I was kind of stuck listening to that because, you know, Passenger always has DJ rights. So that was stuff that I was stuck listening to. And it is enjoyable. I don't know if anything was from that album, but as somebody who enjoys all genres of music, what I had listened to, I enjoyed.
Okay, nice. Yeah, because it's just like, it's almost like experimental rock. And I don't know, just like, there's one song on the album that just, it's like multiple genres in one song almost. So it sounds like it's multiple songs. I think the song's like 8 minutes long. But it's just, it makes me feel some type of way. Like, it puts me in a mood. Like, I'm always emo as hell. So like, I like stuff that makes me like very emotional. And that's one of the albums that I'm just like, wow, like they really put their heart and soul into this album, and you can kind of feel it. So that's my first album. My second album, okay, I've had the same favorite band since I was 12 years old. Like, I'm just still a child, I guess. But so this is their newest album though, so that counts. But Misery Made Me by Silverstein, which is like, I love that name. I'm like, it's so emo. And the alliteration, like, mwah. But it's just, I don't know, it's post-hardcore. I don't know if you know Silverstein at all.
I do not.
They're not like popular mainstream. They're popular in the rock / post-hardcore world.
Mm-hmm.
But they just, again, like, their lyrics are incredible. Like, every single album of theirs, I feel like, is just, it's again, like, they put so much work into it and it really shines. And so I would pick that one because it's the most recent, and so therefore that's the one I've been listening to the most.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could, I would take their entire discography with me because I'm just obsessed with them. I've seen them in concert so many times, and like every time I see them, I'm just as excited.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just never fades because they're such great performers. And their music is just, I don't know. I love a combo of having screaming in my ears, like someone screaming at me, and then like nice, like beautiful, clear singing vocals. And that's what they have. So I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes I go for the straight screaming depending on my vibe, but sometimes you just need to be screamed at. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, maybe, I mean, you know? Especially for like working out and whatnot, I find myself listening to like heavier stuff. During that, it's kind of like a weird combination because sometimes while I'm working out, like, I'll just throw in Critical Role because I'm huge into D&D and I need that, you know, just kind of calming type scenario or pure shenanigans. But then also, like, I'm a huge Baby Metal fan, so sometimes I just need the screaming and also just hardcore Japanese rock going on to get me through my workout. So I get it.
Nice. Okay, you understand me. Honestly, like, I don't mess with Advil and stuff. When I have a headache, I be blasting that heavy metal in my ears because that's like, you can't even think when you have like this loud music in your ears. So how can you feel pain? You know what I mean? That's probably not healthy. Don't do that, actually. Like, but is Advil healthy? At the end of the day, is Advil healthy? Like, no. I don't know.
It's not, especially like repeatedly taking it, I think. I don't know. I am not a medical professional. I am an idiot with a microphone.
Okay, me neither. Like, don't take my advice. I'm just saying what I do. Like, this, put a disclaimer on this part. Like, do not try this at home without the advice of a medical professional.
Yeah. But also, it's one of those things to where if it works, then it works. It's like with my day job. Like, if you have success, okay, anyway, if you have success with doing what you're doing, then far be it for me to tell you to change that if it works. Now, if it doesn't work, then you might need to change it. But also, again, I'm an idiot with a microphone. Don't take advice from me on anything.
Me neither. And also, I'm definitely probably damaging my hearing, so don't do that.
Yeah, no. But I mean, hey, it's fine for now. Whenever we get older, it might not be so fine. But for now, it is A-okay.
I know. Who thinks about the future? Ew.
Yeah,
It's all about the right now.
Exactly. What is it that the kids say nowadays? YOLO? Is that right?
Nope. That's not what the kids say nowadays. That's what the millennials said back in the day. The Gen Zs, they would probably cringe if they heard YOLO.
Oh no, I'm
cut that part out.
Yeah, future me, cut that out. I won't, but cut that out. Just
leave it for the embarrassment. I had a little secondhand embarrassment there, but it's okay. Like, a little bit is healthy, you know.
It's fine, it's fine, everything's fine.
With this fire in the background.
Literally. All right. And so, moving on to your second anime offering, what you got for that one?
We're sticking with the murder, my guy. We gotta stick with the murder. My entire personality is centered around murder. But Death Note, listen, I know it's mainstream. I know it's one of the most popular anime of all time, but there's a reason for that, right? Because it's freaking good.
It is. It is incredible.
Dude, like, I can watch that anime over and over again and not get tired of it, because it's just, like, so, it's a little ridiculous how, like, smart the characters are, because it's not realistic, but it's just, they get so creative with all the things that they do in this anime, this cat and mouse game. Like, it's so creative, and also, like, Light Yagami as an adult, I got a bit of a crush on him. I know he's a murderer. I know he's a bad person, but like, he's just so smart and he's handsome, and I don't know. Like, so I need to have my man by my side when I'm just deserted on this island. But yeah, it's so freaking good. Like, I got to meet the voice actors of Al and Light in the dub, and they were both really cool. And I was like, man, I just love your work. Because it's so good. Like, the acting's so good, too.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Everything about that is incredibly well done. And in fact, I think it's one of those shows that I know online, there's the whole, like, sub versus dub conversation that's always constantly had. But I think from an English-speaking audience perspective, I think most people prefer the dub because it is so well done. It is incredible. Everything about it is incredibly well done. Although I'm very much in the camp of, after a certain point in the show, it just kind of falls off for me. I prefer to just stop after that particular point, because everything else after that kind of feels like a fever dream in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
But the first 25 episodes are so good that it can still be, like, one of your top anime. Because, like, even though it falls off, it's just, like, dude. But, yeah, I mean, there are some great things about the second half. Don't get me wrong. But, of course, like, the first half is the stronger half. But, yeah, I don't know. I used to be a sub snob. Listen, this is, like, my name is Melissa, and I used to be a sub snob. Hi, Melissa. But, no, I used to be in that camp, and then I realized, what the hell do I know? I speak English. I can't judge Japanese acting. I don't know their inflections. Like, I don't know the language. And so I think I just thought I was being, like, cool and elitist, which is how a lot of sub snobs are. They're going to, like, come after me if they watch this. But no, like, I got into voice acting, too. And I was like, well, I want to be an anime, so I have to be the dub because I don't speak Japanese. And I found this appreciation for dubs. There are some really freaking good dubs out there if people would just give them a chance and not be like, oh, it's English dub, like without even watching. That's like what always happens. But yeah, it just depends. It depends on the show. I'm sure there's some bad Japanese acting too. We just can't tell because unless you speak Japanese, how would you be able to know?
Exactly.
I don't know. I just think it's so silly.
It really is. Like, it's one of those things to where, like, the topic of gatekeeping is always brought up in any media or fandom or anything like that. And I've been on both sides of the fence before. And so it's just kind of one of those things where it's just like, you shouldn't gatekeep anime in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Like, some people, like myself, I have ADHD, so it's easier for me to watch the sub because it keeps my brain focused a lot better, because I can't look away, because if I look away, I miss something. Now, not so much that I'm learning Japanese, so I can kind of get away with watching without subtitles now, but even still, like, it's very good for the ADHD. Mm-hmm. Then there are some people to where, yeah, but then for some people, like, they don't have time to read, or they're busy doing things in their lives, so the dub's very good for stuff like that, so they can look away or do housework and all this other stuff and still be able to enjoy their favorite shows. And so I get it. And Death Note is always one of those things where I can recommend it to newer anime people, because for one, I know they're going to watch it dubbed, and I know that they're going to have an incredible time with it. So I can 100% get behind Death Note, because the show is very, very, very good.
It was one of my first anime, and it stayed like toward the top of my favorites, because it's so hard to beat it. It's just a masterpiece, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it, I think it was one of mine too. Like, it was probably the third or fourth one after Your Lie in April that kind of got me down that rabbit hole. Like, I went from Your Lie in April, which is now a lot more mainstream, to where as before, because I think I watched it shortly after it came out, or shortly after it got released on Netflix. So I was like, at least I didn't see it talked about as much back then. But then I got into stuff like SAO and Attack on Titan and My Hero, and then kind of stumbled over to Death Note afterwards. So it was definitely early on, like, one of the things that kind of got me into it and kind of like drug me deeper into the pit of like, where all does this take me? Because I grew up with like Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon and stuff like that. Like, one of my earliest memories, I remember going to Blockbuster, because I'm definitely dating myself with that one.
I miss those days. I do too. We're in it together, man.
Yep. But I remember having to pick between whatever Sailor Moon film and Dragon Ball film was just on the shelf that week. So I remember doing that whenever I was younger. But then it's just like, wow, there is so much more to all of this than just, you know, fighting and magical girls, to where it's just like, okay, here's this really cool, like, murder mystery death game that's going on. And then it's like, oh, here's this, you know, anime about music that I did not think would drag me into that rabbit hole. So I get it 100%. Death Note is definitely one of those where it's just like, hey, start with this because you're going to have a great time, and it'll definitely drag you deeper down the well.
And it's not like what you think of when you hear the word anime. So it seems like a normal show, like, not to hate on anime, but like people who don't watch anime, they think what I thought, and they're like, oh my God, like, it's all panty shots and like gross stuff like that. And what, I don't know. There's a lot of that like trickled into anime all the time, but Death Note is something that, like, it just feels like almost like a Western show that people would watch, like, in the US. So
yeah, 100%. Like, it definitely fits for like the, I guess, casual audience side of things, and that, to where if anime tropes aren't your thing, then this show is your thing, because it fills a niche that I think 99% of other anime don't in that way.
Yep. So it's always great for beginners. I recommend that too all the time. I'm like, Death Note. Immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those things to where somebody's like, hey, I've watched this, this, and this. What do you recommend? It's like, well, do you want to kind of branch off? Because there's this. But then also, just in general, you should check this out.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree.
All right. So you're also allowed to take a film and a video game. So let's start with the film. What you going to take on that one?
I'm deciding between two again.
You can take two. It's fine.
All right, Frick. I am my mother's daughter because these are her favorite movies, but I feel like because I watched them so many times with her, they became some of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, I'm going to get laughed at, but Titanic, because the directing, the acting, the story, mm-hmm. it's all so good. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. People are like, Titanic, like, oh, draw me like one of your French girls. Okay, yeah, that's in there. But it's brilliant, okay? It's brilliant. Leonardo DiCaprio is a beautiful man. And also Kate Winslet's a beautiful woman. And so it's like, wow, I love these people. And I just, like, I'm such a sucker for, like, the rich and poor pairings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where it's like, oh, this rich girl and this poor boy. I don't know. It's just, like, so wholesome. I don't know. I'm just like, money doesn't matter. but I just, I don't know. It's like, even though a lot of people die, like, it's very comforting to me. This is, like, a theme with me. I need help. I need to seek help. But, no, like, it's just because I watched it so many times growing up, I feel like it's very comforting to me where it's like, I know the story. I could, like, quote the whole movie. It's one of those situations where mm-hmm. it's like, wow. So that's one. The other one, there's also a lot of murder. Oh, my God. I really need to stop. Anyways, so Silence of the Lambs, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Jodie Foster is, like, one of my biggest inspirations as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's very, like, subtle with her acting. I feel like it's very grounded and, like, she's real. Like, she is every character that she plays.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love her performance. I love how creepy the story is. And, like, just, I don't know, it always makes me cry just because, like, it's this woman who's, like, coming into her career and, like, trying to stand out and solve this really intense case. And so it's a very emotional movie for me. And, like, I don't know, everybody's acting is really good. And, again, it's another movie that I know, like, the back of my hand and I can recite it. And my mom's going to be so happy when I tell her I said these movies. She's like, wow, I knew I raised you right. But yeah, I would say those two just because they're comforting. They're movies that I can watch over and over and over again and not get sick of.
Mm-hmm.
So if I only had two, I mean, it'd be fine. But I mean, neither of them are very happy. Did I mention anything happy? Oh, my God. Okay. No, I didn't. I'm like trying to think. I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't mention anything happy. But that's okay. Well,
it's fine.
We'll get something. We'll get something.
Yeah. It's okay. It's fine.
There's still a couple more things.
Yeah. But no, I mean, again, it's great to kind of have those films that, you know, like you said, like, it's comforting regardless of the actual subject matter of what it is that you're consuming. Like, it's still comforting because it has personal meaning to you, and it just kind of, you know, has that sense of nostalgia that it kind of brings with it. But also, both are incredible films, and they are incredibly well done. Titanic will always and forever be timeless, again, regardless of its subject matter and, you know, its take on the, you know, real life tragedy that happened. There is a reason as to why it's still one of the top grossing films of all time. And every time that they, you know, decide to do a re-release in theaters, like, it still sells well because it's, you know, people love it. Like, it's a well-done film. And then Silence of the Lambs, I feel like, kind of doesn't get the credit that it deserves.
It freaking doesn't. And it's so good.
It is. It is very well done. And so, I can 100% see as to why those are films that you would choose. Again, regardless of its subject matter, like, you kind of can't judge it off of that. Because if you if you enjoyed, you know, good acting or good storytelling, then that's kind of, you know, there, and it does a good job with stuff like that.
Yeah, that was my reasoning. It's just like they're both timeless in their own way. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I really like them. I'd be comforted by the, like you said, not the subject matter, but just like the familiarity. There's comfort in what you know.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. And then a video game. You mentioned earlier that you are a huge fan of video games. You've played a lot of them. So what is the one that you would want to take with you to a deserted island?
This is literally the easiest question. Persona 5 Royal. I'm actually wearing a Persona 5 shirt right now because I was like, oh my God, this is so appropriate for this podcast interview. But Persona 5 Royal is my biggest media inspiration of all time, like for voiceover, for anything, for life. Have you played any other Persona games?
Persona 5 was actually the first one that I ever played, because as soon as I found out like how much of a time investment there was for the cost, I was like, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Because I've very much become that person of like, okay, how long does it take me to play this game versus how much it costs? Oh, you can put like 100 hours into one playthrough of this? Fuck yeah. Give me that game. It's like with Baldur's Gate. Oh, 17,000 different endings and it can take you 100 plus hours just to get one of them? Yes, uh-huh. Take my $60, Larian. Like, absolutely. Yep. That is bang for your buck. And Persona 5 is one of those games.
Yep. I'm big on RPGs because I'm one of those people that doesn't care about gameplay that much. Mm-hmm. Oh, boo, boo. The story is what matters to me. I play a lot of visual novels too, just because I'm somebody who gets so engrossed in a story and the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And Persona 5, like the gameplay is really fun. Like I really like the turn-based games. But just like some of it's kind of like The Sims, you know, where you like wander around town and like you get to build your relationships with your people and like there's dating options. And I just think that they did such a good job with really delving deep into these characters and not making them one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that a lot of RPGs I've played really struggle with, where it's like, oh, this is the character that's shy, you know, and that's like all there is about them.
Yeah.
But with Persona 5, it's like they're these layered characters, and like so much so that this is going to sound really lame, but I felt like they were my friends when I was playing it, because it just felt so personal and real. Mm-hmm. And so I was devastated when the game ended. I was like, oh my God, I have no friends anymore. I have friends, but like I don't have my Persona friends. And so I don't know, if a game can make you feel like that, that's something really special. And mm-hmm. I just love the overall messaging of like, oh, teaching people to be better and grow and improve and stop doing horrible things. Like, I don't know. There's just such a journey with Persona 5, especially Persona 5 Royal. So you didn't play Royal, you played Persona 5 regular?
Yeah, I played the base game, and I've heard phenomenal things about Royal. It's just I haven't taken the time to get into it because, as previously mentioned, Baldur's Gate has kind of consumed my, you know, solo narrative life, because there's so much good about it. But I will check out Royal, especially because I think they released it on PC, right?
I think they did, yeah. I think it's on all platforms now. But you should, like, people are like, I don't want to play the same game twice, but it's not, like, the way, what's so beautiful about it is they actually listened to the fans and, like, our critiques about Persona 5,
mm-hmm.
and they fixed all of them in Royal, and they added the content that we wanted, like, more Akechi. Oh, my God, like, I love this. I love this little teenage boy, like, not like that, but I just, like, mm-hmm. I want to protect this kid, you know?
Yeah.
And he's, like, one of my favorite characters of all time, and, like, they develop him so much more in Royal, and he has, like, his own confidant and everything. I'm like, I could replay this game endlessly. It's like my ultimate comfort game. And I don't know. It feels like I'm going to, like, I'm coming into a new world. And I think that should be the aim of, like, all game developers, is to really, like, build a world that feels so real that the player feels like they're there, like, with these characters. And I think mm-hmm. Persona 5 Royal and Persona 5, like, regular, too, it does just that. So, That was so easy for me. I was like, my entire personality is Persona 5. So like, I don't shut up about it. I'm really annoying. But like, you were at my streams, like Stardew Valley, like my character is based on Persona 5. My farm is based on Persona 5. Like, I don't know. I just, every game ends up being Persona 5 because why would I play anything else? Right.
I mean, I get it. And I will 100% checking out because it's, I mean, especially to hear that they've changed that much out of it. I mean, again, it's like I discussed earlier, like I'm all about the whole price tag versus investment aspect of it. And so, you know, hearing someone like speak so glowingly about stuff like that means more to me than any, you know, for instance, IGN review that could ever come out. Like, you know, just hearing something from someone I respect being like, hey, here's this really, you know, here's this really awesome game where they've added all these awesome features. And I'm like, sure, why not? I'll give it a go. Like, why not?
Thank you for respecting me. That's like what I gathered from that whole statement. I was like, ooh, someone you respect. That's me. No, but like, I get you. It's when it's more personal and like you hear it from someone one-on-one who's not getting paid, like this is not an ad. I'm not being sponsored to talk about Persona 5 Royal. I mean, I should be, but yeah, it's just, it's so different than just reading, I loved this game. Cause it's like, okay, like, but you got paid to say that. So
yeah,
you know, it's different.
Mm-hmm. It really is. So I will 100% be checking that out at some point in the future.
Stream it.
I'm down, especially now with it being on PC. I absolutely can do that. I would have whenever it initially came out because I got it on the PS4 and the PS4 had the like streaming option built into it to stream it into Twitch, but they blocked all the scenes because the developers like, nuh-uh, we don't want anybody to be able to stream this or make content about it. And I get it because they didn't want to spoil stuff for people.
But now it's been out.
Yeah, but also it's like if people will go into that knowing that spoilers are going to be a part of it. I realize you want people to play your game because you've worked your ass off on it to create this, you know, in essence, like what Persona 5 is. It's like a narrative masterpiece.
Yeah.
So I understand that, but also kind of like we touched on earlier, like don't gatekeep stuff. Like some people either A, don't want to play the game, but they want to watch it, or B, they can't afford to play the game. So you're kind of preventing those people from like living vicariously through whatever content creator is trying to, you know, play this game and, you know, share their enjoyment of that game with those people.
Yeah, it's I don't know. And people will know if they're clicking on a Twitch stream that's like playing Persona 5 Royal, like obviously you're going to see stuff about Persona 5 Royal.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just, it seems silly. I know they want money, but it's like, people are poor and life is expensive. And so just let them enjoy the game, like through somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. If they want to.
Mm-hmm.
I just, yeah, I'm glad that that's not a thing anymore because I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
I wholeheartedly agree. And so.
Do I get a third anime?
Yes, you do. And that's actually what we're getting into now. So. What is your final offering to the table? Your last thing that you're able to take with you to the deserted island. What you got for this one?
I am going to pick a comedy. Woo!
Hooray! Woo!
There's no murder.
I have a button for this. Hang on. That's part of the whole reason as to why I bought this thing.
Yay!
That is obnoxiously loud in my ears.
That is perfect though. I love it. That was very appropriate. So I and Persona 5's like, it's not as dark as the other stuff I mentioned, so like we're getting lighter, you know.
Yep,
we're making progress. Growth baby.
Exactly.
But the disastrous life of Psyche K, oh my god, it's so stupid and so funny. And it has one of my favorite dubs. Speaking of dubs, like one of the best dubs that I've seen. Like, it's just so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And like the actors, you can tell they're having so much fun with it. But it's just like, it's one of my comfort shows for sure. Cause I'm just like, I really relate to Psyche because I'm pretty deadpan. And like, it's like the reason I love it so much is it's my exact sense of humor. It's very deadpan. It's very like, I'm annoyed with everything. And It's just like the cast is so funny. Like, it's just they're all so different from each other, and so it just creates total chaos. And like to have this main character who's just over everything, and then have this colorful cast who's like always annoying him and doing all these crazy things. It's just like, it's beautiful. Like, it is a masterpiece. I am such a big fan of it. I would highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. Sounds like you've seen it though.
I have. It was very interesting circumstances as to how I came about watching that show, but I really enjoyed it. Like, I kind of got into it halfway through, but then I actually went back and rewatched it all the way through from the beginning, and it is very well done. I enjoy it, and that's also my sense of humor, but also my sense of humor whenever it comes to anime is so skewed because I enjoy everything. Like, whenever it comes to the comedy side of anime, like, one of my favorite comedy anime of all time is Tanaka-kun Is Always Listless.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
It's on High Dive, and it is hilarious just because it's so, like, it's deadpan in a way, but it's just, you've got a character who wants to do absolutely nothing. So much so that he, like, tries to blend in with the background, and, like, he becomes transparent at one point. Oh, like, God. That's how hard he's trying to just blend into the background and not have to do anything. His friend's like, whoa, no, wait, hang on, you can't do that.
That's so funny. I love that. I just love when these main characters are just, like, total tsunderes. Like, they're just like, oh, they're, like, so nice. I don't know if that one's like that.
It too, is, yeah.
It's just like, I hate everybody, but also, I'll help you. But but you'll never know it was me helping you. You know, it's just like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's so funny. I'll have to check that one out. Because, yeah, I really struggle with comedy. Because it's hard to make me laugh because I'm so specific about what I find funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there's not fart jokes or like poop noises, or like maybe the reverse, poop jokes, fart noises. Yeah. if it's not childish and if it's not monotone deadpan, I don't know. I struggle. I'm like, cause I feel like sometimes comedy tries too hard. Like, it's very subject to that, where it's like, we wrote all these very specific jokes and you're going to laugh. And then I'm like, ugh, but that makes me not want to laugh, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know, but there's definitely funny stuff out there, but yeah, there's my like light hearted thing that I'll take. Cause everything else is like, I am depressed, and maybe that's fitting. I don't know. Cause I am depressed, but I'm just like, there's one thing. Well, Persona 5 has funny moments. So there are two things out of my list that would make me laugh. So I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I think you've like evenly covered all bases here. What's your
nice
want to get out of it? So I think you're A-okay on your offerings. And as stated earlier, absolutely nothing has been repeated all the way up to this point.
Wait, like with your other guests, no one has said anything the same?
Nope.
Dude, what?
Like, nothing has matched up at any point. No, nobody has actually said Death Note, but funnily enough, you had mentioned Psycho Pass earlier, and that was my last guest on here, Katie. That was one of hers. And so it was because Excellent. Of that I actually went and watched it, was because it's one of those things where if people suggest anime on here that I haven't seen, obviously there is a reason that it's being talked about here. So I'll go search it out because it's like, I'm always curious to learn more. And also just to figure out, like, you know, although you and I have had the discussion as to why these are your favorites, like, I still want to go check it out just to, you know, see for myself as to why.
Yeah, no, you know, Psycho Pass was about to be my third one, but I was like, I need something lighter. So there was almost an overlap, but Psycho Pass is just something I never stopped thinking about, because it's just like, this could very well be our world. Mm-hmm. Like, this is scarily realistic, and I hate it.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's got my favorite villain of all time, Makishima, my man. I love him so much. I love all the, like, terrible people. I don't know what that says about me. am I terrible? No. I just think, like, everything in that anime is so well done. And, like, he is just very realistic. I feel like a lot of the villains are like, ooh, I'm evil. Like, some of the time it's just like, what? It doesn't make any sense. But with him, it's like, it's very clear his motivations. And also, I sort of agree with him. So I was like, I was siding with him a little bit. So I don't know. I side with the villains a lot. But I love that anime. I'm so glad you watched it, because I feel like that's another one that's like, it should be appreciated more than it is.
It should. And it's one of those things that not a lot of people talk about it. And that was another one of the reasons as to why I actually wanted to do this show, is because everybody has that one anime that not a lot of people have seen. Like, anybody that Blue and I have talked to over Tanaka-kun, no one has seen it. And so it's one of those things where it's like, I'll shove it in people's face if I can, because I think it's one of the only shows that Blue's actually given a 10 out of 10 on the podcast, which is rare, because you've got me who will give 10 out of 10s like at the drop of a hat because of things like Oshinoko and Boshi the Rock that are absolutely mastercrafts in their own way. But Tanaka-kun became one of those, like, it is our measuring stick on the podcast for comedy now. Wow. Like, it is. And the more times I've rewatched it, more I'm like, yeah, no, like, I see the 10 she gave. It's not a 10 for me, but it's just the measuring stick that has been set. But
yeah,
also touching back on the whole like villains thing too, a lot of the things whenever it comes to well-written villains are villains that have their motives like based in reality.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, for one, that's a well-written villain, but it's relatable in a way to where it's just like, okay, like, I enjoy the conflict that's going on here now, because now it's just kind of a thing of, you know, whose ideals are going to be the ones that end up winning. Because as it's so true with real life, like, history is written by the victors. And so seeing that in, you know, media is very clever and well done.
Yeah. I mean, that's how Death Note is too. It's just like, you can't help but root for the villain sometimes, because like, Light is the villain, let's be real. Like, the protagonist is the villain. But it's like, is he completely wrong? And I think that's when you can really start to appreciate the villains and be like, oh, well, maybe they're onto something, because this could very well be real, rather than I'm evil just to be evil. I hate when they're written like that. I'm like, give them some kind of like backstory and reasoning. But I think so many anime are great at that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, not really Western shows as much, as from what I found, but in anime, I feel like they're more grounded.
I agree, because I mean, even take the most recent example of Attack on Titan, and that, like, I have never seen a fandom so divided on whether or not the main character is right or wrong. Like, regardless of where you stand, like, that division, I think that's the most like hardcore stances I've seen over something like that. And if anything, like, that's just good writing, is that, you know, if you can, you know, divide your fan base in such a way and have them like that riled up over it, like, why not? Like, that's very good writing, in my opinion.
No, I agree. I haven't seen Attack on Titan. Don't get too upset, but I'm just like, I want to watch it, because like, my friends and I did some fan dubs from it, and now like, I voiced Historia, and now I feel like attached to her. I'm like, I need to know her. I'm like, because I was her for like 2 minutes, so therefore I must know everything about her. But I've heard nothing but great things about it, and I think like, their fandom is very intense in general, and that's part of what scares me. I'm like, oh my god. I mean, the Persona fandom kind of is too, but
I think it's just like, kind of like a much larger scale type thing, in that the AOT fandom is so rabid. If anything gets ahead of it on my anime list, and Full Metal Alchemist as well, like, if anything gets ahead of those, it gets review bombed to absolute hell.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that happen, but I don't know. There's just good anime out there, man.
I've
seen so many, but there's also a lot of bad anime out there.
yeah, there really is. And there's a lot of, I guess, like, trash in between, because I also enjoy trash. Like, there's an anime for everybody. Like, people 100%. Will think that I'm crazy for telling normal people, like, you don't like anime because you haven't given it a chance. But it's like, hey, you like these types of shows for, you know, general entertainment. So I could give you an anime that, you know, fits that niche that you enjoy. You won't watch it because you think it's for kids or whatever. But I am a grown man that cries over a girl that plays a violin and a boy that plays a piano. Like there's there's really is an anime for everybody. And that's kind of, again, one of the reasons I wanted to make this is just kind of figure out like what those animes are for people and what you want to kind of share for people to enjoy and just check out.
I've just, personally, I've just embraced that I'm a child in an adult bodysuit. Like, I'm just, I feel like we all are to an extent. I'm like, just freaking embrace it because growing up is boring and you should just like what you like. And if you think something's for kids, then you should probably like try it because it's probably better. You know? Like, in a way. I'm like, okay, but like, that stuff's more fun. And like, I don't know. I just think it's so silly that people are like, oh, you're an adult. You're playing video games. Oh, no. I'm like, okay, well, you must be real fun at parties. I'm going to keep doing what I like.
Exactly, because life is, for one, way too short to not be happy. But two, it's, you know, if you enjoy something, then there's nothing wrong with it as long as it's not hurting other people. But also, you never know who also might enjoy the same things that you can just kind of, you know, share a passion with, because that's how B&B got started is, you know, Blue and I found out we shared a passion for voice acting and then a passion for anime. And then we bonded over Food Wars, which sounds really dumb that, you know, that's the anime that kind of started all of this, but that's just where we are. And I can't complain about it. I love the genre. I enjoyed anime so much, and now it's led me to doing the spinoff thing where I get to meet really awesome individuals such as yourself and just sit here and talk about, you know, anime and just enjoy it.
Thanks for calling me really awesome. I always like hyper focus on the compliments. That I'm training my brain to do that because I think we're so often we focus on the negative. That's just how our brains are wired. So whenever I hear something positive, I like laser focus on it. So I don't know. It comes off as comical because it kind of is, but it's just like, I don't know. I think it's an important practice to do for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. But it's also like one of those things, like I genuinely want to, you know, make it known that I appreciate my guests that, you know, take time out of their day, because I mean we've been at this for almost an hour and a half now and you could have been doing anything else, yet you chose to, you know, sit down and have this conversation with me. And for one, I really appreciate that, but two, like it's a lot of fun to just sit down and, you know, discuss what people are passionate about, and it's just fun to have these conversations.
No, this is awesome, and I've had a great time, and I really like what you're doing on this podcast. I think it's just fun to nerd out sometimes, right? You don't always get those opportunities. They're not, like, in your everyday life, necessarily, so
yeah.
I appreciate you having this, and I appreciate you asking me to be here, because it has been really fun, and I like talking in general. I'm very chatty.
I understand that, and I appreciate you taking part in this, and so for, like, the little last wrap up bit, now you can just take the time to plug literally anything and everything that you want to, socials, upcoming projects, your Twitch channel, like have at it. This is your time. You do you.
Okay, I will plug my socials because followers are everything. I'm just kidding. Like, please don't think that. But so you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at It's Melissa White. And you can find me on TikTok at Melissa X White, because It's Melissa White was taken. so they're not all the same, but my website is melissa-white.com, because melissawhite.com was way more expensive. And those domain names, man, they'll get you.
They really are. I feel like every time I have to renew the domain for the podcast, I'm just like, fuck me, man.
Dude.
Because it gets more really expensive every year. Yeah.
It's so annoying. But yeah, those are my main things that I'm plugging. I feel like I can't talk about any upcoming projects because NDA runs my life.
Yeah, I understand that all too well.
And like, there's like, I might be able to talk about some of them, but I don't know. So mm-hmm. I just don't. Because it's like, oh, I might have signed an NDA for that. And I never want to be too careful. Or I always want to be careful. Yeah. So, yeah, those are my socials. I post, like I said, a lot of positivity content. I also post about gaming and anime frequently. Because I'm passionate about those things. That's why mm-hmm. I'm here. But yeah, I would love to see anybody around who watches this podcast. And thank you again for having me. I really, really had a great time being here.
And thank you again so much for taking part in this. I really appreciate it. And Blue also wanted me to extend that as well for, you know, taking time out of your day to sit down and have this discussion with me again. So again, from the bottom of both of our hearts, thank you very much. Links to literally everything will be in the description of this everywhere it's posted, because this is the only side project that we actually post to the podcast feed as well. So it'll be in the descriptions literally everywhere. And again, do check her out at all of her socials and Twitch. Like, it is a phenomenal community to be a part of. The positivity on Twitter and everything else is absolutely incredible. So yeah, do be sure to check that out. And again, thank you so much for taking part of this. We really appreciate it. And thank you everyone for listening. We appreciate it. We'll catch y'all next time. Bye-bye. Bye
bye. Bye. We'll be right back.